Good evening and welcome to edition of Flames Unfiltered. Yes, I'm flying solo today. And I did this for probably, honestly, like 120 episodes. So you think I'd be used to it. Since Kyle's joined the show, I'm not used to it at all. And quite honestly, I don't know if I like it anymore. Where is Kyle? Where the hell is Kyle? Kyle's in Calgary. Yeah. Kyle is on a vacay in Calgary. He is there for the Mika Kiprusoff jersey retirement. I'm jealous. I want to be there with him. It pisses me off that I'm not there. I'm aggravated, but I'm here and I will be watching. And yeah, I will be ready for that night. That's going to be an exciting night. But boy, did we have some stuff to talk about today. You know, just when Calgary rattles off, what is it, in their last 10, what do they have, 7 wins? And not even 7 wins against, like, they've beaten Boston twice. They've beaten New Jersey. They've beaten the Islanders. They've beaten the Jets. They've beaten the Oilers, like the Kings, like some really, really good teams. Which puts them in like a difficult spot since deadline day is just next Friday. It's just not like typical. Yeah. Well, last night the news dropped. Chris Tanev moved to Dallas. And let's fast forward and we'll talk about that first today. We're going to get the big news out of the way. Oh, Tanev to Dallas. Mixed reviews on the return. Let's talk about the trade itself. It is a complicated trade. It started off where early reporting of the trade seemed so much simpler, so much easier. But here it is. So the Devils trade unsigned draft choice goaltender Cole Brady to the Calgary Flames in exchange for defenseman Chris Tanev. Furthermore, the Flames have agreed to retain 50% of Chris Tanev's contract for the rest of the year, which we kind of expected that. Then the Devils trade Chris Tanev to Dallas in exchange for Dallas's own fourth round selection in 2026. And then the Devils have agreed to retain 50%, I believe that's 25% of Tanev's contract for the 23-24. So 75% of it's really being retained. And then the Calgary Flames trade unsigned draft choice Cole Brady to the Dallas Stars in exchange for defenseman Artem Grushnikov, Dallas's second round selection in 2024 and a conditional third round selection in 2026. If Dallas advances to the Stanley Cup final in 2024, which is winning the first 3 rounds of the playoffs, Dallas doesn't, then they get the draft pick, the third round draft pick. If they don't do that, which, I mean, mathematically speaking, could Dallas do it? Yes. Mathematically speaking, probably not the greatest odds. Calgary would not get that third round pick. So New Jersey gets a fourth rounder. Calgary gets Grushnikov, 2024 second, and then that conditional third. And then Dallas gets goaltender Cole Brady and Chris Tanev with 75% of his salary retained, 25 by New Jersey, 50 by Calgary. Yeah, very confusing trade. I'm a little puzzled what that means by New Jersey getting into it. The only thing that I can like logically come up with that would make good sense is that, hey, they're gathering draft picks. Now they can flip this forth for something, you know, to sweeten a package for deadline day. Because I refuse to believe that New Jersey is just going to sit back now and be like, yeah, you know, we've struggled a little bit lately. We're out of this. No, I don't think that's where New Jersey is at. I also don't think that because I saw a lot of things on social media this week about, oh, they're talking again, obviously, with New Jersey. Are the Markstrom things dead? I do believe the Markstrom things, the Markstrom trade discussion. Is that a little more clear for you? I do believe that is dead. Maybe I'll be wrong now, and my phone will blow up an hour from now, and we'll be going gonzo, and there'll be another move. So what does this mean with trade deadline next Friday? What does this mean for the Flames? Well, it means that now we have two guys that are being heavily talked about in the trade deadline board, that being Noah Hanifin, probably the most talked about, and then still Jacob Markstrom, which those talks have really, really quieted. And I said it 2 weeks ago and I made people mad, and I still believe it to this day. I do not see that happening during the season. I just do not see that happening. Maybe I'll be wrong. And then I'll come on here and I'll have to admit that I'm wrong, because I'll do that. So what does this mean for deadline day now? And let's talk about the return. I was kind of meh on the return, but I had a couple of people tell me, you know, well, hey, most of the teams that are looking to get Tanev are top end teams. And a lot of those teams don't even have first round picks. They've traded them away. They don't have them. Should we have got a first round? You know, I always revert back to talking to the fan base and myself and saying, you know, I believe that Conroy did the best he could with what he had, right? Now, I kind of thought that Tanev would be, like, I think Hannafin's more sought after long term, but I think the push guy is Tanev for the playoffs because of the style he plays, right? Did I think we'd get a first? I kind of did. But then part of me says, well, that first would have been a late first, and does that matter if that's the second? Well, it does matter, because the second we're going to get from Dallas is a late second. And really, if you look at it mathematically speaking, how many late seconds pan out? They do. But it's not like a late first, right? I don't know. I'm really back and forth on the return. Frank Cervelli said today, I think when this is all said and done, you need to look at the five UFAs. Look at the package that went out and the package that you received for guys that were not signing in Calgary and were going to be gone without anything. And then you can kind of put it all together and see if we did get the deal or value for our assets. I guess that's probably the best way to put it, right? I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I'm first one to admit it. I don't know a lot about Artem Grushnikov. I do know that the Flames probably did a lot of research on this one. He plays for Texas in the AHL now. He did play in Hamilton in the OHL, had 44 points in 65 games. He's got 5 points in 44 games with Texas. But from what Craig Conroy described last night, the second round pick, the number 48th pick in the 2021 draft, he's more of a bigger stay-at-home defenseman. He's 6'2", 180 pounds, left-handed shot, more of a guy that's going to replace, boy, I get really tricky here saying he's going to replace what Tanev had. No, he's not going to do that. He's more of that style. He's not that run-and-gun flashy defenseman, the Oliver Shillington is going to grab the puck and go type defenseman. From what I've been described, he's more of a shot blocking, safe, steady defenseman. So we'll see where that pans out. Time will tell. I'm guessing we'll probably see him. Shoot, we might even see him this week with the Wranglers, right? I believe they play Friday night. And I believe our buddy co-host Kyle Lewis will be going to that game. And I'm going to talk a little bit about Kyle's trip to Calgary here in a little bit, because I'm jealous, man. I'm jealous. I want to be there with him. But all right, back to trade talk. When does Hanifin go? It's tough to say. My gut tells me that it's going to be early next week. I don't think it goes right up to deadline day. I don't. And if it does, I'm really scared, because I think the return will be much less than I really think it would. And I think, you know, like we had with Tanev, a lot of the teams one of the things that we're forgetting in the Hanifin thing is we can't just trade him to anybody like we could Tanev. Hanifin's got an 8 team, right? We can trade to more than 8, I believe, but his agent has spoken on what teams he would prefer going to, because those would be the teams he would consider re-signing with. If we trade him to a team outside of that, our get is going to be not good. Now, if we get him to one of the teams on that list that he wants to go to, our return's going to be better, but those teams know. So does that affect the return? I'm thinking we have to mentally prepare that we may be upset with the return for Hanifin. And I don't think it's because we waited too long. I just think that when you tie hands, it makes it harder. Just like when Matthew Tkachuk did that to Treliving, the return we got there was bonkers good in my mind. But I don't know that that can come back and we can do that again with... I don't know that we can do that with Hanifin in this short amount of time. And as we're recording, talking about Hanifin, guess who's going to join us? Yeah. Kyle Lewis is here. And, well, where the hell are you, Kyle?
The social downtown.
What the social?
Yeah. Yeah, enjoying a little vacation beverage.
Well, good. Glad you're on. I was just talking about the Tanif trade. And then you went into the Hanifin. I got to get your take. What's your take on the Hanifin?
Well, it was kind of funny because you had texted me last night and my phone was downstairs charging in my friend's place, which is out of Okotoks. So I'm way closer to Calgary than you are. Oh, I'm in Calgary at this moment, obviously. And I still found out from you that the trade happened.
Oh, so, that's pathetic, man. That's pathetic.
Yeah. So I ran downstairs to grab my phone. My buddy that I'm staying with is outside shoveling the porch, so I have to tell him. And it was probably 10 or 15 minutes later, I actually found out what the return was. And, to be honest, I'm kind of glad that it's over. I wouldn't say that I'm like crazy with the return itself, but it was maybe all it could have been. But at the same time, I had also tweeted about this. It's the deal's done. The return was not terrible, and it beats the hell out of just letting him walk for nothing. And it's also another indication that Dan Conway is doing what he said he was going to do in terms of asset management. So it's too early to say how it's going to turn out. But we have a guy that we knew was going to leave town, and unlike some past circumstances, he left. We got some assets to return. And we'll see how it works in a couple months' time.
Yeah, I got the same opinion. I mean, I was going to return, but it is what it is, right? Like, I know Craig Conroy is out there to try to get the best deal he possibly can. And I believe he's doing that, and that's all we can expect as fans, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, whatever one thinks of it, whether it's a Tanev case or the Hanifin case, I mean, these are players that every other team knows are not returning the claims. So right away, you're dealing with a little bit of a disadvantage or a handicap when it comes to these trade scenarios. So again, it's easy to think what an ideal return should be, or you'll refer to past cases like Ben Chiarot, who seemingly got more at that time. But, the market is what it is. It's only going to bear so much, and you got to decide, what you're willing to pull the trigger on and when you do it. So,
we got to quit using the Ben Chiarot thing as a measuring stick, because that was just a bad deal, right?
It was, and it gets brought up a lot. And I mentioned this because Kent Wilson tweeted about it last night, and I kind of responded and said, I feel like defensive defenseman, the market is all over the place because it's based so much on intangibles and reputation and, measures of play we don't really pay a lot of attention to. So I don't think it's ever really as clear as, say, the Lindholm trade or what a number two or number one center could potentially catch you. These trades, these types of trades, rather, these types of players are all over the board.
Yeah, I agree. So I got a couple more questions for you before I let you finish your cold beer and move on with your day. But Hanifin, when does this go down? Does this go down on Friday, or does this go down prior to Friday?
I feel like it's going to be Friday.
Do you really?
Yeah, and I really can't give you a reason for that. Just a gut feeling I have. Yeah. What are your thoughts on that? When do you see it happening?
I don't know. Like, I was just talking about it on the show here, and I kind of think it's going to be early next week. I think one of the things, and I think Conroy's done a good job with it, is when you're working on a deadline, no matter what job you're doing, and it gets down to that last minute, it's going to get kind of panicky, right? And that can benefit you in ways, but it can also hurt you really bad in ways too. So I think if you talk to Conroy, if we were able to, he'd probably tell us he'd like to get it done sooner than later. And I kind of got a gut feeling it's going to be early next week.
Yeah, and it could be. It depends on what happens between now and then, too, right? So it's interesting because he's like the last piece we know is going to move, and obviously there's always that domino effect of once he's gone or once somebody else is gone, has an effect his return, right? But the consensus seems to be he's going to get a better return than Tanev, which, you know, makes sense. But yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see what happens in the next few days, really.
One of the things that I was just talking about on the show, but when you look at the Hanifin return, it might be a little tricky too, though, because a lot of the teams that are trying to get him don't even have first-rounders to trade.
Yeah. Well, then you're moving on to a potential A-list prospect, I would think, anyway.
Yeah.
It's a substitution for that first-round pick, especially where this draft is considered to be potentially a weak one.
Which I think Calgary is probably more apt to want is I don't want to say an NHL ready, but maybe obviously like a Sharon Govich type deal. I think that Calgary would welcome, because I know we're in a rebuild / retool, but I think they want to fast forward it like the Vancouver did, right?
Oh, absolutely. And like even Nazem Kadri's comments either this morning or late yesterday saying, you know, they want to be competitive. They're going to be riding a winning streak over some really good teams. They feel like they deserve maybe some help to keep pushing forward. Like this team, as we said before, has so many long-term contracts to totally nail it in, right? And go into a full rebuild. So realistically, a young roster player, like I said, Alisher Lubitsch, is most likely the route they're going to want to go, assuming first-round picks on the table, depending on what they're going to deal with.
All right, Kyle, before I let you go and drink some more beer, tell me what your plans for the rest of the trip in Calgary are.
So tonight we're going to Hitman's Bar inside of Cowboys. So we're doing Bret Hart trivia, and Bret Hart allegedly will be there, which is really cool for a hardcore wrestling fan like myself. So we're going to do that. And then tomorrow I've got the Wranglers game. We're sitting right behind the home bench for the game between the Wranglers and the Eagles. Give me a chance to scout Mackie Coronado, Dustin Wolf, Jared Poirier and that whole crowd. And then, of course, we have the Kiprusoff Academy game on Saturday. Sunday is a little bit up in the air. We'll see how Saturday goes, but Sunday's kind of up in the air. Then fly back to the East Coast first thing Monday morning.
Wow. Sounds like a really, really good time in Calgary, and I hope you're hitting all the establishments and having a lot of fun and getting to visit with a lot of the Flames fans that we interact with every day on the socials, right?
Yeah, I handed out a few t-shirts so far and a few more to go. I mean, it's like, you know, it's like home away from home for me, so it's nice to be here again and see some familiar faces and check out some of the new spots. But yeah, I mean, everybody will hear from me a little bit more in the days ahead because I'll be some shorts and some photos, and I'll be active in between the beers.
Sounds good, Kyle. Thanks for jumping in. Thanks for joining us. And hey, we're talking soon, buddy.
All right, see you soon.
All right, is Kyle, look at that, on the fly. How do you like that on Flames Unfiltered? Ned, that was really not planned. He just texted me and said, hey, it's really loud in here, but let's give it a try. I apologize the sound quality. Come on, Kyle and I care a lot about that, but when you're sitting in a pub in Calgary, it's a little hard to be quiet, right? We did the best we could there. Hopefully you're able to hear everything that Kyle had to say, and I was fun talking hockey with my buddy Kyle. All right, what's left of the show here? Let's talk. Let's talk about one of the things that prior to the Tanev trade was kind of on my hit list of things to talk about on the show today. And that was that this team's pushing for the playoffs, but the biggest thing is their plan of attack is still intact, right? We proved that last night. Win 7 out of 10, move up the standings, get a little closer to a playoff spot, and then we still move Tanev, which we had to do simply because, like, can you afford to lose guys for nothing? No, this team's not good enough to be a contender, but I still think it is important to get into the playoffs, and I know a lot of people in Calgary will argue that with me, but I do. I think it's good because if we could sneak into the playoffs still, the amount of experience and what that does to this young group is huge. We're currently 5 points back with a game in hand. That's a long road to hoe. I agree. And now not having Tanev, and quite honestly, probably not having Hanifin in the next week. Not even probably. We will not have Hanifin in the next week. The road's going to get tougher to hoe, right? I get it. Like, I'm with you guys. but we're not going to fall into a top 10 pick, I don't think. Not with the roster we have, nor should we, really, right? So let's do the best we can. I think it's super important that we push and get some experience for our guys. I think that's critical. So where does it get to shake out in the playoffs here, right? Winnipeg, Dallas tied for first in the Central, 79 points. Colorado's 2 points behind that. In the Pacific, a stumbling Vancouver Canucks team who's 4-4-2, who's been quite not awful, who's been very mediocre since Lindholm arrived, sits in first in the Pacific. Vegas, an injured Vegas, sits at 73 points in second. Edmonton, just 7 points ahead of Calgary at 70 points. They do have some games in hand, though, so I will give them that. And they've been stumbling a little bit, too. Teams that haven't been stumbling in the West are Minnesota, who's pushing for a playoff spot. They're 1 point behind Calgary, 7-2-1 in their last 10. Nashville, winners of 6 in a row, 7-3 in their last 10. They are the team in the final wildcard spot. The LA Kings, who were up in the top 3, have fallen now into the wildcard spot. They're in wildcard number 1, 68 points, but they have a game in hand on the Flames. So I don't think, I think the final wildcard spot would be probably the best the Flames could do. And I will agree with most everybody listening to the show. It's probably unlikely, right? But look at the schedule coming up. And I know everybody's just going to be like, we play good against good teams and we play bad against bad teams, and we do. But here's the schedule coming up. Canadians, these are all teams with low winning percentage. We got the Canadians, Sabres, Blackhawks, Ducks, Coyotes, Sharks. Oh, man, if this team could just feast on some of those bad teams, think about how good things could turn out for this team. It'll be interesting to see what happens. Let's talk a little bit about some of the recent games, and let's talk about the Battle of Alberta first, because that kind of was our biggest one. And that was Saturday night, a big emotional win for this team. And it was a fun game to watch. It was physical. It was old style. It was good Battle of Alberta hockey. And it was just a lot of fun. Kadri had such an impact in that game. And I feel like since Lindholm left, it's like, oh, nobody thinks I'm a first-line center. Maybe I should start showing that I could be, right? Will he be? I don't know. I don't know. But right now he's playing like one, right? And his line mates are having huge impacts also. Hanifin, who's probably going to get dealt before Friday, not probably, will more likely than not be dealt, just been really good. And he has 2 goals and assist, 3 points in that Battle of Alberta. And what a game it was, as you know, Vladar gets the start, and that made us all kind of wonder. But 3 goals right away in the first. Kadri, Pospisil, Hanifin. Oh, Flames are up, man. And we're rolling from there. A big fight between Blake Coleman and Matthias Janmark in retaliation to the hit on McDavid, which was totally legal. And I didn't even think that was that big of a deal. I obviously got way overblown. But as much as the Edmonton game was fun and good, I thought the Boston game on Thursday night was really good too. Oliver Shillington gets his second of the year. Pospisil gets his 5th. Kadri adds an OT goal, man. And that was quite honestly, I think it's the most exciting overtime I've watched this year. Coaches have freaking wrecked 3-on-3 overtime. And this one was all out fire sale. We're going for it, and we'll see what happens. And this was a hell of an overtime. Boy, it was a lot of fun to watch. Kadri with his 20th there to win that one in overtime. And then Tuesday night, just a couple nights ago, LA comes to town and they score, no scoring in the first. They score in the second. Mangiapane, Coleman get goals in the second. We're tied after 2. And I was really, this was one of those games. I remember just sitting after the second period thinking, where's this game going? And Kyle was just landing in Calgary, and we were texting back and forth. And I'm like, where's this game going to go? I don't know where this game's going to go. And then boom, it hits. Sharon Govich scores on a really nice shot from the slot. And Backlund scores that empty netter to seal the deal. And a good showing against the Los Angeles Kings, a team that's really been struggling lately. Losers of 2 in a row, 6-4-0 in the last 10. And a team that just, I don't know. I don't want to say they can't figure it out, because I mean they've really had a good year, but boy, a team that's just kind of muddling right now. And we'll see what happens with the LA Kings. Let's talk about impact players. Martin Pospisil. I'm like, you know, Kyle and I were like the Michael Stone fan club last year. I'm kind of getting there now. I don't know if Kyle's along with me on this one. I might have to call him later and ask him. We talk about Pospisil a lot, but I'm just a big fan. Like I'm in jersey ordering fan right now. Yeah, I am that excited about him right now. And I'm going to steal this from the barn burner. The guys over at Flames Nation do a hell of a good job. Really like their podcast. I listen to it a lot. And they were saying that yesterday, I believe, on the show, they were talking about Pospisil. And when he's in the lineup, this team is 25-23-4, which is, did I get that wrong? 25-13-4, sorry. That's a higher winning percentage than the Colorado Avalanche. And when he's out of the lineup, this Calgary team is 3-12-1. This guy makes an impact. He can score. Now he's not a super scorer or anything like that, but he adds that element. He adds that tough physical play, that gritty, grind it out, I'm going to make this happen kind of play that opens things up for Kadri and Zari. And boy, I love this line. Who would have thought at the beginning of the year that we'd be ranting and raving over a Kadri-centered line with Pospisil and Zari on the wings? Nobody saw that coming. And Blake Coleman, holy cow, this guy this year is doing it all. Scoring, he's fighting. And you know what? I've always thought of him as a leader, but I just think it's been taken to another level. And I think when you have a guy like Backlund and Coleman, wow, that's going to help this young team move forward much quicker. I really believe that. Jonathan Huberdeau, since we flipped the calendar over to January, 21 games, 5 goals, 15 assists, 20 points, he looks different. He just looks different out there. I'm not saying we got the Jonathan Huberdeau from Florida that we expected. But you know what? We just need to stop bitching and complaining about Jonathan Huberdeau right now, because he's been really, really good. And the guy I want to toot his horn the most this week is defenseman Braden Pakal. Wow. This is a waiver signing from the Vegas Golden Knights that I have not sworn at once. And you're asking, why? What are you talking about swearing at? That's how I judge defensemen. I don't look at defensemen to come in and wow us, and definitely not a guy like this. But how many times this year have you thought, wow, he was out of play there, out of position there. Wow, that was a turnover in the slot. Wow, he got himself into a bad position there. Oof, there's a turnover. How many oh shit factors have you had with him this year? Not very many. I honestly can't even think of, well, I can think of one. One play in which I was mad and swearing at him. Now, we thought the Greer signing, pull up my line charts here. We thought the Greer signing, waiver signing, was great. And I still do. I think AJ Greer brought a lot to this team in the preseason. And it really sucks that he's out of the lineup right now, because he's a great fourth line winger. But I thought that was a really, really good waiver signing. But this Pakal signing on defense is I think better. I think it's better. And we'll see how it plays out. We got a lot of hockey left to play, right? We'll see how it all plays out. Oh, X Factor. Yeah, let's talk about the X Factor. Let's get right to it. Jonathan Engstrom. He writes, damn, I'm really rooting and hoping for Kuzmenko to be a game changer. Not looking like Huska is ready to make that happen for the chipper fellow. Not sure exactly why he's already fallen into another coach's doghouse. He hasn't been awful enough, in my opinion, to earn that. Jonathan, thank you for being this week's X Factor. We really appreciate it. I thought that was a good tweet. It got me thinking. And it got me thinking about is he really in the doghouse? Now, it's been reported that he is not feeling well, and I don't have any reason to not believe that. He hasn't played the last two games, and the Flames won. Now, I know Kyle, the other host of the show, really loves the attitude of Kuzmenko, and I do too. I really do too. And I think he has the skill to bring that to the table. But I worry about consistency here. And I know I'm talking like I'm talking about Adam Ruziska, which we'll talk about him later too. Crazy. I don't know what to expect from Kuzmenko. I think he could be. I worry about him just in situational things, right? He's given us some bursts of hope. And I think he's probably a pretty damn good asset on our power play. I really like that. But can we trust him defensively? And now, where does he really fit into the lineup? And Jonathan mentioned in the X Factor that he's in the doghouse. Like, I don't know. Like, he was shuffled down to the fourth line, but back out of that, I don't know that it's, I don't know if I'd say he's in the doghouse yet. I'm not, but I also, Jonathan, wouldn't say he isn't in the doghouse either, right? But where does he fit into this lineup? Because right now, when I look at the depth charts, no one's changing from Kadri, Zari, and Pospisil. Backlund, Coleman, and Mangiapane sure aren't moving. And you got Rooney, Dewar, and Pelche on the fourth line. I could see Greer moving into that spot later in the year when he's back from injury. Kuzmenko, probably the best spot for him is on the right wing of Sarangovich and Huberto. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see where that all shakes out and what happens there. But you got to earn your spots, right? And when you're talking about a team that has a lot of younger players, I do believe he's sick, and I don't think we're sending messages to Kuzmenko. But he had the same problem in Vancouver where the coaches, you know, kind of didn't trust him out there and thought, you know, he's got great offensive upside, but it's not worth the risk on the backside. I'm just hoping this guy decides that, hey, here's my chance in Calgary. I need to focus on both sides of the play. Because I do think that he really could be an important piece for this Flames team in the future here. So we'll see what happens there. Now let's talk a little bit about the past as we rewind. Adam Ruziska, remember him? A waiver claim loss of us just under a month ago, I think, really. About a month ago. The Coyotes pick him up on waivers. And then, what day was it last week? Tuesday? Wednesday? I don't remember what day it was last week. I was grocery shopping. And I see on social media, Adam Ruziska posting him with what looks to be cocaine. And I'm like, what on earth is going on? Arizona immediately places him on waivers to terminate his contract. He clears waivers, and his contract is terminated. What's this guy doing? A big body forward that has all the... I mean, I wanted him to work so bad in Calgary because I thought he would be such a good asset for us. I don't get it. I don't get how... And it's life. It's life. Another thing on the flip side of this is I don't know how he gets blackballed and shipped out so quick when other guys have had the same thing and they didn't get blackballed and shipped out so quick. But I guess that's the position you put yourself in when you're a waiver claim just weeks before, right? You make your bed. I don't know that anything will come of this because I don't know that we're going to hear Adam Ruziska's name again in the National Hockey League. We may hear him in the KHL, but I don't know. I don't think we'll hear him again. But for him to post that on social media, do a lot of you guys as Flames fans think that maybe that's just like, and it's sad. Is that a cry for help? Does that explain his inconsistencies? Does that explain how a big body forward that can skate pretty well could be so inconsistent? Show us flashes of good play and such flashes of lazy, horrible play. Is this a cry for help? I wish the best for him. I hope he gets help, because to me it looks like that. We'll see what happens. So what lies ahead for the Flames? Let's talk about the game previews here, right? Saturday night, Pittsburgh comes to town. The Kiprusoff jersey retirement. It's going to be a big, big night in Calgary. Let me take a look at the rundown of what's all happening that day, as our buddy and co-host Kyle Lewis will be there, and you guys can all visit with him. But the doors open at the Dome, 5:30, ceremony 6:20, warm-up 7:30, puck drop for the Pittsburgh Penguins, 8 o'clock. A Penguins team comes to town that is, I don't know, Pittsburgh's currently right now out of a playoff spot. They are 6 points back of the final wildcard spot. That's going to be a tough road to hoe. They're talking about Getzel being moved. They're kind of just right in the spot that Calgary is. We'll see what happens there. Always fun when Sid comes to the Dome and everybody get out and support what I think is the greatest Flames goaltender ever in Mika Kiprusoff. He comes to town and gets his numbers raised to the rafters next to McDonald, Ginla, Vernon. I'm drawing blanks. I shouldn't draw blanks on those. But anyways, a well-deserved honor. We're all going to be watching that night. And I'll be firing off of Flames Unfiltered shorts talking about Mika Kiprusoff this week. Monday, Seattle comes to town for a Monday night matchup. And then Calgary hits the road again out east. It is a really light week for the Flames as they played Tuesday and now with nothing till Saturday. So we're talking Flames hockey, right? So Kyle's out in Calgary. He's going to be firing over some videos, some pictures. We'll get him out on social media. Hopefully he's having a fun time. If you see guy running around in some Flames Unfiltered shirts, flag him down, visit with Kyle. He loves Calgary. I love Calgary. It's our home away from home, and he's out there visiting, and I am freaking jealous, man. Before we roll out today, I got one favor to ask. Our podcast is not something Kyle and I do to make money or anything like that. We do this because we love Flames hockey, and we love talking Flames hockey. But we're asking a favor, man. I'm asking a favor. Whether you listen to us on Apple, iTunes, or whatever they call it now, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify, or Google Podcasts, or whatever player you are, will you hop on and just take 2 minutes, rate, review us, write a short review, rate us preferably 5 stars. But you know what? We like honesty. We want to know what we're doing good, what we're not doing good, so we can get better, right? If you get time, follow us on X, subscribe on YouTube. It helps our podcast. It helps us move up the ranks. It helps us get more exposure. It helps us meet more Flames fans. And that's what we do this. We love the Calgary Flames and love this. Can't wait for Saturday night's jersey retirement with Kiprusoff. Another announcement before I head on out is Kyle and I are looking at doing a 2-hour live show this Friday, NHL trade deadline show. More details to come as we nail down times and everything that you're going to need to know, where you can find us, or you can jump on and watch as Kyle and I break down all the trades, preferably the Calgary trades, on NHL trade deadline day. Flames fans, enjoy this weekend. Mika Kiprusoff, such a special player for the team. Get out there, support the greatest goalie the Flames have ever had. And that's not a slight on Mike Vernon or anybody else. Mika Kiprusoff. Watch, and he's going to be the focus of attention on Saturday night. Let's keep this thing going. I'm going to miss Canada being gone. I'm going to be super excited for this week, NHL trade deadline week. Let's have a good weekend, Flames fans. We will see you next week on Flames Unfiltered.
Thanks for listening to Flames Unfiltered with Brad Berube and Kyle Lewis, your source for unfiltered Calgary Flames hockey talk. Keep it locked on flamesunfiltered.ca. Subscribe where you get all your podcasts to never miss an episode. Flames Hockey Talk every week, presented by Inside Edge Hockey Media Group. We'll be right back.
Listen, don't call on the phone no more, but I hear she's still getting around. Cut all ties with this girl, but somehow she's still hanging around. Been all over this country, but I still find her messing around. She's just lining it up and knocking them down, dealing out that grounded pound.